Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
You need that fear.
All I'm trying to do is make a stand for something that I truly believe is right. I truly believe is right.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio, hashtag TBV Podcast. This is our third episode today, so head on over to iTunes, TuneIn, or Stitcher, wherever podcasts are found, and get all caught up. You can obviously come on over here to youtube.com/TheBoxingVoice or to theboxingvoice.com/videos to catch all the episodes. Today, we're here to talk about some breaking news with Keith One Time Thurman and Earl Spence, The Truth, Kevin Ioli, the Yahoo Sports boxing journalist. He's been doing this for many years. He happened to do a live video chat with Keith Thurman where they got down to detail in the nitty gritty about when, where, and if this Earl Spence fight will happen. The biggest quote of the day is that Keith, like all the rest of you boxing fans, believes that this is the Super Bowl of boxing between he and Earl Spence. Now, we'll see if you guys agree with Keith, or is it the dark horse, Terrence Crawford? Let's head on out to the Golden State to Matt, the Hipster Hunter.
Dalla DiBiase Productions.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Johnson. How do you feel about it?
BoxingWiz.com.
Yes, the hipsters here. Haters beware. I know Keith Thurman has received nothing but hate from the boxing fandom as of late. Maybe this will help. Maybe it won't. Most likely it won't. Let's be honest here. But, you know, yes, he also went on to say that he might not fight a top 10 opponent in his comeback fight from the elbow surgery. His next opponent after that, maybe top 7. And then maybe Earl Spence or somebody else. So I think that's going to receive a lion's share of hate and venom from the boxing fandom. But Keith Thurman's right that him versus Earl Spence is the Super Bowl of boxing. It is, if not the best fight, the second best fight in boxing right now that can be made, the third best fight in boxing that can be made. It's up there. So can't wait to delve into it. Can't wait to chop it up with you, Ness, and the callers. Should be fun.
Well, let's get out to the audio and just get a mindset for what was said and how Keith was feeling.
One of the best fights in boxing would be you against Errol Spence.
Number one versus number two right now. I mean, of course the people want to see that. It's like seeing the Super Bowl. That's the beauty of mega fights is when world-class fighters step in the ring, it's almost like a Super Bowl. We don't and it comes from all over the world. It's not just the East Coast, West Coast. We're champions of the world. It just so happens that Errol Spence is an American fighter and I'm an American fighter. But it's a great fight. You know, it's a great fight. I look forward to the competition.
So what do you think? I mean, obviously we could have gotten deeper, but you need to head on over to Kevin Ioli's verified YouTube channel. Check out the full video. But what we gathered from the full video is that Keith has made it clear, Matt, that in 2018, Earl Spence is just not in the cards for Team Thurman.
I've been saying it all along to get back here. Like, that part is not news, really, that he's saying that Spence is not happening this year. He's been very adamant about that for some time now, that this is a quote-unquote get-back year. He's going to face some tune-ups. He's going to make sure the elbow's feeling good. And then he's going to face that super fight with Earl Spence or whoever it is, whether it be Terrence Crawford or whoever. So I'm not surprised at that at all. I'm more surprised about the top 10 part. I know we didn't get to that part in the audio, and definitely go check out Kevin Ioli's interview with Keith Thurman. Great interview. Plus, Kevin Ioli is one of the great journalists of the sports. Definitely just, pay respect to him. But that to me was a little bit news, you know. And plus, you know, Jesse Vargas came out on social media, was about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, with a little tiny, with a little rant about how Keith Thurman's ducking him and all that shit. So that to me is the news of it. And, you know, is Keith Thurman losing momentum, even though he's the unified champion of the world? That to me is a very compelling story and aspect of this story, to be more exact.
You know, it's funny because Keith spoke of that. I mean, Ioli asked him, do you feel that you're losing momentum after the big win with Sean Porter and Danny Garcia? And you know what, Keith, this is the reasons that I say that he is our generation's or this next generation's version of Mayweather more than anyone, because of the way and his ability to answer the question, the fact that, you know, he was able to say, listen, what I've done, no one's done in this division yet. So Earl captured the title. He could go on to defend it. I could go on to defend and this fight not lose any momentum because I'm still the WBA super champion and the WBC champion. I have not lost my ranking. They have not dropped me from the rankings, and I'm about to get back active. So, you know, to be honest, he does hold the biggest accolade. Like, regardless of what you think, that he's lost momentum, it hasn't dipped. And that's what the point that he's trying to make. It's like, I'm here. Have I gone up? No, I haven't, because of the injury and the marriage and the surgery, but I haven't dipped because no one's done what I've done. I'm still the unified two belt holder in the welterweight division. Earl doesn't have that. No matter how much you guys want to push him, Earl doesn't have two titles.
No, but there's such thing as like a red hot like brand or stock, right? Like that Spence's stock right now is rising so much. It may not be at the level of Thurman's, but the perspective of it, the optics of it right now, for a lot of the casual fans or pseudo casual fans or even hardcores.
But without a win, could it surpass Keith? Is my point. And that's Keith's point.
Again, talking purely about momentum. Yeah, I think Spence has sort of overtaken Thurman in terms of momentum for the division. Not that he is the more established guy or he has the better resume. That's not what we're talking about. Talking purely the word momentum, and under the Webster's dictionary of that word, Spence, yeah, may have more momentum at this point. Well,
that's fine, because that's Keith's point. He will never lose his status.
The course, bigger, that may be true.
The bigger Earl gets, let me tell you how this works. The bigger Earl gets, the bigger Keith gets. Why? Because they will forever be attached until they fight, because Keith still holds two belts. Unifications still matter. The world still wants to see what's going to happen. So Earl can keep plowing down guys, and people will still keep asking, where's Keith? When's Keith? Why not Keith? Keith, Keith, Keith. They'll keep each other relevant until this fight happened. It happened with Mayweather and Pacquiao. Every time Pacquiao used to fight a more relevant fighter, we would, you know, compare. Oh, but you guys are saying that Pac-Tards are saying that Mayweather's fighting the softer opponents. But look, Mayweather's fighting Algeria. Oh, but I mean, you know, Pacquiao's fighting Algeria. Oh, but Mayweather's fighting Guerrero. Yada, 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 back and forth. And all the while building each other up, building each other up, letting it simmer. Or as Bob Arum likes to say, marination, my friend, marination.
And there's a reason that, you know, I know we did a show earlier with Danny Garcia about it, and I received some pushback from a caller, I believe. I think it was a legendary boxer. I don't want to quote him on this. But I think it said something to the effect of, you know, hearsay, like counting one guy's word against the other about who has received names and offers for contracts. Who has Al Haymon really called for to fight Earl Spence? Who has he really called for that fight? You know, Danny has said no, he hasn't received that. Sean has even said that. Keith has said that.
Let's be honest. What's wrong with that? If you're the Wizard of Oz, you know, if you ran TBV and you had a hedge fund with $500 million, you have a vision.
Of course.
Your vision might not be Earl Spence's vision or Keith's vision or Danny's vision. Your vision is your vision, and everyone at your committee, everyone at your board, all the analytics that have been done, every fucking single survey and consensus, who is going to be the bigger star, who has more popularity, who has more upside, who is more marketable, all that is going to be considered.
Agreed. Let me
want the fight fans to know that when a guy like, let's say, Sean Porter says, well, Al told us we could get the Danny fight and Danny's not picking up the phone. And then a guy like Danny says, well, I never got the phone call. Are we to believe that Al is telling Porter you'll get the fight, but then never calling Danny? or is Danny lying? Where do we lie with our alliance here in all of this black and white area?
I think there's a reason that the way you stipulate is that Al Heyman's the guy in the back with the boardroom with all the numbers, all the analytics. And I think a lot of these PPC guys are going, we're just going to create headlines. We're just going to create media sensations or headlines or stories or videos on whatever we're talking about. And we're going to just create rivalries. We're going to do whatever it is. And Heyman's the one in the background controlling it all. So whether or not Sean is right when he's saying that Danny is not picking up the phone, I don't think it matters. I think we know that they are pushing these fights back till probably last half of 2018 and 2019 for a reason, because they know that it's going to increase the overall revenue of all these events if they do that. And the boxing fan may not like that, and I think the simple boxing fan will more likely than not pick a side about what fighter to believe, when really it is Heyman controlling it and Heyman telling really all these guys, look, I got it figured out. You're going to fight this guy, this guy, this guy, and we're going to make it like a league. And there's a reason Showtime had an entire schedule of PBC fights for the entire first half of 2018, because Al Heyman's figuring shit out for that long in advance, if not more. So that's really what it is to me.
Matt, and unless you have anything else to add here, let's focus our attention a bit on our thumbnail and just entertain the artwork based off these resumes. And I guess I should ask you, are we able to come up with a answer to this question of who's higher on the pound for pound list between Keith One Time Thurman and Earl Spence, the truth, based off of their last seven fights? Or is eye test a mitigating factor that must be included?
It must be included. And it must be included in combination with the quality of opposition. It's not and or either or. It's a combination of the two. I really don't think it's a fair comparison, to be honest, because, again, Earl Spence has almost half the fights of Keith Thurman. You know, I know the Spence fans are going to call in and say, well, you know, Ness, compare Thurman's first 20 fights with Spence's first 20 fights. I bet he fought a bunch of bums. You know, you're going to get that narrative in there, of course, with a guy like Spence who was fast-tracked.
Or wait, let me play this game with you. Or they're going to say, Kell Brook's better than Sean Porter and Lamont Peterson.
Oh, and Danny Garcia. You know they're going to say that. Come on. They're going to say that Keith Thurman ducked Kell Brook. We had that caller in the last show earlier today.
Uh-oh, Trap Media in the chat says, Boxing Voice and Van Heerden better than Bundu and Algieri.
Stop.
Funny when at least Algieri proved that he could beat, you know, top level.
I'll give Spence all the credit in the world for Algieri. I know we have Georgie calling all the time and shit on Algieri. Algieri was a world champion. Algieri was a really, I think, technical boxer. He got
up six times off the canvas from Pacquiao. Let's be honest. I mean, could you get up six times? I don't think I could get up six fucking times. You put me down.
And that was really the last really part of Pacquiao's, you know, prime in a sense. Now, you really can't say prime, but the last really part of that he had athletic ability and status in the division was that Chris Edgar, Timothy Bradley section of his career. Again, I think that it's not a right comparison. You really can't compare the resumes right now.
Ronald Jenkins in the chat, Keith Thurman has more tools than all welterweights.
That may be true. Except for maybe Terrence Crawford.
From the chat, names we will not mention. Algieri is trash.
That's okay, Georgie. That's not true.
No, that wasn't Georgie.
Oh, wasn't? I just assumed. Yeah. No, Algieri's good.
Georgie did say in the chat, Algieri, I'm going to puke.
Come on. You don't think Chris Algieri is better than Robert Guerrero? Like, that would be interesting.
I think that Chris Algieri could beat Robert Guerrero.
Absolutely.
I think he could beat most versions of Robert Guerrero after Mayweather and Keith Thurman losses.
Hell, Luis Collazo. I think that would be a fantastic fight with Chris Algieri back in the day, like 2015.
I think the Collazo to beat Sammy Vasquez should beat Algeri. But Algeri does have good wheels, which gave Collazo all types of issues in the con fight. Listen, if you're watching this live, don't forget to hit that thumbs up button. Future, present, past, doesn't matter, doesn't hurt, only helps with the visibility of the show. Plus the thumbs up button, you know, it lets us know that, hey, you know what? Hey, guys, we enjoy that you did three episodes and you gave us three, you know, different topics to discuss and, you know, digest during our commute to work, during our long walks in the park or our jogs getting ready for Border Wars 3. Head on over to theboxervoice.com and look for the banner for Border Wars 3 registration. Sign up. Hurry on up because you know that it sells out fast. First one was two hosts getting at it. Second was the inception, the creation, Border Wars 1 with a total of five fights, Matt. And then we have Border Wars 2, which brought in 11 fights. We're working on Border Wars Season 3. Who knows where we cap it? Who knows how many we have? What we do have now is four champions, right, Matt? Four official belt holders, one official. And when I say official, I mean official, authentic, real deal, Holyfield IBF champion, one authentic WBC champion, one authentic WBO champion, and one Ring Magazine champion. Head on over to patreon.com/theboxingvoice to see those names so that they do not remain nameless. Put a face to those names and to those shiny belts that they earned in the ring. You know, you can also do that by signing up to Border Wars. So, yeah, Matt, I mean, so this list means nothing to you. This graph is just letters. And you're in the matrix, you're unplugged, so you're not reading it.
You know me with pound-for-pound arguments. It's like, yeah, you can argue Spence's above Thurman. You know, you're probably going to argue Thurman's above Spence's because of resume.
What about this?
Assumed. He has more of a resume.
With these names in front of you, of these last six opponents for each fighter, which opponent better familiarizes the other for the other? Meaning, on these names that Earl has fought, who can you say is more likely to mimic, prepare, you know, get him ready for Thurman and vice versa? Hopefully that was explained well enough for everyone, not just you.
I understand what you're saying. God knows if the world understood what you were saying, because that was all over the place, Mr. Highface. But I think Kell Brook, in terms of footwork, definitely could match Thurman in terms of. I know it's.
Wait a minute. Mr. 1-2, never throw a three piece combination, flat footed Kell Brook can mimic Keith one time. I'm on my bike, Thurman with Robert Guerrero,
yes,
Garcia, and Sean Porter. Come on, bro. You're bugging.
Ness, now you know this because you're a hardcore box fan. You've been in the gym. That a boxer will bring in sparring partners that definitely are not of the caliber of their upcoming opponent, but can mimic an aspect of them, right? So they bring three or four guys that can mimic all different aspects of their upcoming opponent, right?
Correcto mundo.
Okay. I think Kell Brook is close enough and can mimic enough of Thurman's back foot boxing nature that Spence has seen that look in the pros already. He's seen that. Technically speaking, though it did not really happen in the fight that often, it happened, I think, once or twice. Lamont Peterson really brings the angles, I think, of a Keith Thurman, especially with the way that Thurman throws his hooks. I think Lamont Peterson's probably the closest to replicate that. Chris Adjuri is another guy that has footwork that could have matched Thurman in terms of that style. Purely footwork. Now, on Thurman's case, Sean Porter, in terms of the bullying aspect, the attention to the body in terms of where you throw your combinations to, that can mimic a Errol Spence. Danny Garcia loves to be on the inside, a little more flat-footed like a Errol Spence. But again, I don't think that really matters too much. I think these guys have a very unique style matchup that however it transpires is going to be purely because of these two guys matching up together, not based off of any prior fight.
Well, all right, let's head on out to the sponsors and get to our callers. Always want to remind you guys to hit that thumbs up button. It helps with the visibility of the show. Don't forget to drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Also helps with the visibility of the show. Plus, we get to read your review here live. Matt, check the production chat. We do have a review we need to get to today, I believe. We didn't get to one. And in the meantime,
these calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at El Camino Electrical Services.com.
Remember, this show is supported by El Camino Electrical Services. So call the number 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 time to voice your opinion here on the Voice of the People hotline. International callers or anyone in the U.S. or wherever, you can just add Nestor Gibbs on Skype, Nestorgibbs, and have clear audio quality. Matt, let's head on out to what looks like, oh man, the Milkman never mailed me his intro again because he created that himself. Mr. Milkman in Atlanta, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good, man. I'm good. I got to get that intro to you, man. I got to get the email to send it to, man. I sent it to the wrong one, man. It got kicked back.
Well, it play this on rewind when you're ready to send it to us. It's thebox-ingvoice at yahoo.com.
Or the boxing voice with a E instead of an A.
Gotcha. I got you, man. I'm going to send it, man. I'm going to send it, man. So, you know, Thurman Spence, man, you know, it's a fight that I'm not mad, you know, isn't happening now. We got to give Keith some time, get in there, shake off a little ring rust, test the elbow out once or twice. And, you know, the fight will be there, man, you know, barring they don't lose or something tragic happens. But the fight will be there, man. Historically, we have seen when they make us wait, we end up salivating and getting even more excited. So, you know, we just have to wait, man. You know, I think it's probably the third or fourth biggest fight in boxing. That's my call.
Milkman, thank you for calling in. I agree, man. I agree. Unfortunately, I'm not saying Bob Arum had it right, Matt. That is not what I'm saying at all, okay? But, and, you know, for lack of a better word, a little bit of marination can go a long way. What do you think?
I think if you look historically speaking, even in, you know, the golden age of boxing that we romanticize as boxing fans, there was marination back then. You know, Bob Arum's been around since the 60s, and he didn't come up with it on his own. This thing called marination, even though it may not have been called that, has been around for a long time. Hyping and building up and promoting a fight over a year or 2 years is a commonplace in boxing. That has always been here in boxing. We just may not like it because we are, especially in today's culture, a right now culture. We want everything right now, right this moment. Think about our streaming culture that we have now. Everything's right now. So we expect our boxing to be right now, like fast food. Everything we want is right now and instant. Boxing historically has not been that, unfortunately.
Very true. Let's go out to Boston, Georgie. There's another one that hasn't sent the intro, right? Oh, that's because Casual has to send that. Georgie, what up?
Nigga, you play my intro the other days. What are you talking about? You losing your mind.
Let me see.
Yeah, you're right, Georgie. He did. Oh. He did.
Yo, first of all, let me say, I don't pay Showtime to see you all day and not even putting in a goddamn motherfucking effort. If I want to see two motherfuckers just fight, I pick up a fight with somebody in the street. Don't need that shit. You don't love that form, my dude? Just move along. Gone. Fuck you. Next, what a great show. Thumbs up, donate.
Yo, what's happening, people? Man, so this Al Heyman dick rider got you losing your mind, buddy. Got you fucked up in the head, B. Listen, where's Doomy at? I gotta talk to Doomy. Where's Doomy?
He's not here. He's not here. I'm sorry.
On the phone. Fuck. Listen, Doomy said the other day, I believe he was talking about Lomachenko, that he said Lomachenko is not really a 130-pounder. Lomachenko fought 126, right?
Yes.
This, I heard a lot of people talking about how Errol is a weight bully. And in the early show, I think Ness said that he goes to camp around 177.
True, true. But that doesn't make him a weight bully, in my opinion.
But this is the thing. There is a lot of guys that they fight in certain divisions that that's not really their size.
That's everywhere in boxing.
Charlo, they're 160 pounders.
Yeah,
they've been 160 pounders for a long ass time.
I don't see that as a problem as long as you can make the weight. As long as you can make the weight.
There you go, but it's not. I understand that. Ain't no, nobody arguing that point. But that's not really their weight classes. But the physical attribution that these people got on their size is not really. Hardcore know this shit. And it's sort of like a little secret that we
Georgie,
away from other people.
But Georgie, let me ask you, what little secret are we keeping away from people when everyone knows that every single fighter sucks down and then does and weighs 10 to 15, if not 20 pounds on fight night? Like, who doesn't know that?
Yeah, baby, but when you're talking about motherfucking rehydrating 20 plus, almost 30 pounds, then there's something fucked up there, my dude.
Yeah, but no one rehydrates.
No, I mean,
hold on. No one rehydrates.
What do you mean nobody
Hold on. Because you ain't even hear what I said.
177 is at the beginning of camp, not after the weigh-in the day of the fight.
And Julio Cesar Chavez has only recordly ballooned up 22 pounds. No one, like I was saying, because you're spitting lies, has ever ballooned fucking 30 pounds that I know of.
I only know of one, and that's an MMA, and he actually got studied by, I think it was Stanford.
And if you balloon in the 30 like Earl, it's after you had a fight at 147, came in on fight night at 157, won the fight, went on vacation to fucking Jamaica, ate some jerk chicken and pork, and now you weigh 177.
Listen, we got to be honest, bro. There's some motherfuckers that they don't belong in certain way and they just happen to make that way. That's so, Thanksgiving. If you try to defend that fact, and that puts people away. That make you feel like you're not honest. That puts, let's call it like it is, baby. Let's call it what it is.
Dog, I don't even know what you're saying. Listen, we got to move on.
Because they're smaller.
We got to move on. I don't know what the hell you're saying. You know what I'm saying? Because Earl is making the weight. And you're talking about we need to notify people that these guys are not fighting at their weight. If they making a weight, that's their weight.
Now, I'll put it this way. Georgie, if you want to use that line of thinking and say, hey, the guy's cutting those massive amounts of weight, let's say a week or two before the fight, that's unhealthy. They should not be allowed to do that. I absolutely agree with you. And there, and most of the athletic commissions in the U.S. are actually working to stop excessive weight cutting right before a fight. Now, if your argument is purely, oh, they're cheating because they're cutting all that weight, you know, throughout 2 or 3 months of a process, then no, I can't really buy that argument because that's an industry-wide standard. So you would have to change the entire industry to do that, and that's not happening.
We're going out to Dennis in Tampa and the Orlando area. Listens to us at the hospital with he and his coworkers. We just want to thank you for obviously all the support. And we also want to thank you for getting your intro from our official TBV producer, Dollar DiBiase. So, for the first time,
are you ready for the fire? Welcome to the firemen.
We are firemen.
We don't want to see
okay. BoxingWiz.com.
That's fire.
Gorgio, that is awesome, bro. That sounds, he did good work with that. What's up, everybody?
What's up, Dennis?
Hey, one thing I want to get straight Everything is good. Ness, I appreciate the shirt. Sorry I didn't say before. Thank you. You beat me to it. But I wear it proud, so thanks. You got a lot of new followers because they hear me listening to the show. We all watch that, and we get into great boxing arguments. I'm not as good as an arguer as Georgie. That's my boy, but it is what it is. Check this out. One thing, when I was listening to that interview from Thurman, he said a couple of good things. I like him, but I like Danny better. You know, as a boxer and all that, I just like Danny better. But what a few things that he said is he gave the proper respect to everyone like Spence and Danny, because he was saying that he saw them come up to the amateurs. They all basically competed with each other. So he also said that no one is scared of anyone. So all that shit about, oh, he's ducking. And then at the end of the day, no one's ducking anyone. Boxing always has been shit fight, better fight, real big fight. Maybe shit fight, real good fight, shit fight, shit fight. That's just the standard operating procedures of how that shit pans out, you know? I would like maybe one day you did a show about what two fights at, for Spence is probably going to happen. Not what we would like to happen, what would probably happen. Same with Danny, same with Spence. That's a good topic for us to, you know, chop it up like you guys say. Because strategically, we never really get what we want when we want it, but we always get what we want. And the 160 is proving that. Because remember all the shit they said about Canelo? They're fighting two times now. So at the end of the day, man, this is a chess match, and it'll never change. So thanks for my time, and I appreciate the intro. Dollar did a good job. You guys got anything?
Dennis, man, thank you for participating in the show. Always a pleasure to have you. Continue to call in so that the world hears your new intro. Remember, you can head on over to Dollar DiBiase's Patreon page and get your intro to be part of the show. Let's head on out to Alex in Cuba. What's going on?
Not much, man. What's up?
What's up, brother?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I couldn't call on Sunday, so I gotta eat my crow now, man. Fucking Ortigas got knocked out, dog.
Yeah, man, he did it. It was sad.
Very yeah, sad. Dude, pretty sad. It wasn't even early, bro. Like, he straight out just got knocked out, bro. I don't think the referee stopped it early either. Hey, man, I texted you on WhatsApp, dude. How do you sign for that Water Wars thing, bro? I tried, but I couldn't find it.
It's theboxingvoice.com/border wars. If you go to theboxingvoice.com, there's a banner on the homepage on theboxingvoice.com. It says Border Wars, Los Angeles, but you click on it, it takes you to Border Wars 3.
Oh, I see. Because I was only getting to Border Wars 2. I couldn't find the Border Wars 3 at all.
Definitely there, especially from desktop. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
I'll definitely try that. But yeah, man, I got to say, maybe I'll try to get an intro too, now that you said how to get an intro. But man, yeah, it sucks for Cubans this year, man. It looks like we're just going to get knocked out like crazy. So look good, man. This is looking pretty bad. I don't like this year coming up. I don't have to start. There's not even Canadians I can root for, man. There's nothing here.
Oh, you're in what part of Canada are you in?
Yo, in Alberta, Calgary, but I'm going to be there for my sister and a lot of my family lives in Miami. So that's why I'm going to be there in Florida for the Border Wars during July. So.
Oh, my God. But if you're in Alberta, Calgary, you need to connect with Jose. He's in Calgary, and they're all boxing fans, and they even work out. They're part of Border Wars.
Yeah, I know. Of course, I know Jose, man. Yeah. And now that I'm actually rooting for Canelo and Gennady Golovkin, this one I have to meet up with him.
Yeah, man, you definitely. I mean, I didn't even know you were in Calgary. You should have been met up. But, yeah, Alex, what do you think about the topic, brother?
Dude, I think, obviously, like, he's trying to make the Super Bowl with Errol Spence because that's what's going to give him the most money now. But, bro, I got to tell you that I think it's so easy to – that one question that you were asking, whose opponent is preparing one better for the other one? Clearly Spence, man. Spence is fighting right-handers just like Thurman. And Thurman isn't – the last two opponents have been right-hander when Errol Spence is a lefty, bro. That's the biggest giveaway. Obviously, Errol Spence is way more ready for Thurman than Thurman is for Spence. But I think Thurman's scared, bro. He knows he's going to lose. When you start talking about, oh, I'm okay being the number two at welterweight, that's fine. I got a career in boxing. You're scared, bro. That's not what I want to hear, bro. I want to hear that you're lying, that you're going to eat these motherfuckers. That's what I want to hear. When you're a fighter and you're like, nah, man, I'm good being number two. No, that's not right, bro. You're already going to lose. You can't have that.
I agree, man. Alex, thanks for calling in. You know what? I agree. That's part of our interview with Keith Thurman where he says, you know, if I'm the number two boxer, I have a career and, you know, I did it. I made it. And he looks at it as an accomplishment. But right now he's the number one. And until proven otherwise, he remains the number one. Earl Spence definitely making a case and the Earl Spence fandom growing tremendously. Matt, I mean, you say something bad about Earl. He's the new Triple G on the internet. And for any casuals listening, may not know what that means. But a couple of months ago, if not a year ago, you couldn't say anything bad about Triple G on the internet without being bombarded by a million Kazakhstanians and or other people just in general that were Triple G fans. I mean, Triple G has come a long way. Matt and Doomsday wear their hats out in public, and the average Joe automatically knows what those three letters stand for.
Or the time I've heard people say, or I've had people come up to me and say, hey, I've seen that a bunch of times. What is that? You know how many times I've been at, like, I'm taking my kid to school, something like that, and I had, you know, moms or stuff like that ask me, I've seen Triple G, like, or I've seen, you know, that those three G's together before. Like, what does that mean on social media? I'm like, okay, now I got to explain to people what boxing is.
Before you go to your final thoughts, because I don't want to leave Rashid there. Rashid, we're going to give you 1 minute. Go, baby, because we're out of here. You came in at the last end of this conversation.
Yeah, I want to see Texas versus Texas. I want to see Spence and Omar get at it. I know they had an amateur fight, and Omar beat them in three rounds. It's no big deal. Both of them excel. They're both motivated. They're both different fighters. Yeah, but I would like to see that fight at the end of 2018 or the beginning of 2019 before he fights Keith.
All right, Rashid in Brooklyn, thank you for calling in. We had another one, and he used to write for us, and he's also in Australia. I don't know what happened. Let me see if I can add him. It's James Grills. Let's see if he's there. Not. We're going to keep it moving, Matt. I guess you could give me your final thoughts until he connects on Skype.
You know, for any boxing fan that's new to the sport, and it may be kind of weird to think about, but there's definitely new fans all the time that are entering the sport, becoming hardcore fans as of recent. They may like not understand when we talk about the Triple G of boxing, that fandom and what that was. If you're a fan out there that's new to the sport, definitely ask somebody on social media that you follow and that you can have a dialogue with that's maybe an older boxing fan, and have that dialogue with them. Like, what was that fandom like? Because that is exactly what the Spence fandom is like. Kudos to him, his PR team, because they definitely have somehow captured that cult-like fanaticism within the boxing community that some guys get. And he's got it, so salute to him. I can't wait for this fight to eventually happen. It is the Super Bowl boxing. Obviously, Keith Thurman's going to take some tune-ups this year. It's his get-back year. You may hate that, but that's the norm of boxing, and it's just something that we have to live with right now unless we change the industry and change the paradigms of the sport. Those are the little things we have to do. I am Matt Tibbs Arnie. You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter, Mount Hunter TBV on Instagram, my MMA podcast, Mixed Combat Radio on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. Peace.
Simmer. Let the fight simmer. Yo, let's go out to James Grills. Grills, you were in Australia, right?
Hello.
Yeah, what's going on, brother? Yeah. Long time, man. You're in Australia, right? Down under?
Yeah, I think I was the first one, mate. It's been years.
I know. You were the first Australian correspondent. Man, we have definitely expanded now. We got Mickey and we got someone else I know. That sounds bad. I should know his name, but fuck yeah, man. Mickey's actually coming down in a couple of days to do some work. But how have you been, my friend?
Yeah, no, mate. Good. Just been busy. I'm in Sydney now. I was just calling... basically, I don't think what Thurman's doing is that bad. Like, I mean, a lot of people are calling him a duck and this and that, but I mean, he's just been injured. He's had a layoff. He fought Danny and Porter back to back. I mean, before that, I used to give him a bit of shit too, thinking, you know, got a bit too much credit for the guys he was beating before that. But I mean, he's not saying Spence is like, oh, this guy needs to earn his stripes or anything like that. Like, he's acknowledging him as the top guy. He said, I don't want to come off a layoff. He's calling him the number two. That's debatable. But, you know, he's acknowledging that they're the top two guys in the division. And I think he's showing the respect.
Wait. Debatable, like Earl is number one or he shouldn't
be? Potential. Yeah. Whoa. That two guys. Yeah. Exactly. Earl's possibly number one.
You just made a lot of Spence fans happy.
Oh, look, I mean, it's still to be proven, too. I mean, that's, like I said, it's debatable. But my point is that, I mean, Thurman's giving him the respect. He's saying he's the top two guys. He doesn't want to come off a layoff. Like, you know, I think that he'll work into it. I think it'll happen. I just think, you know, he's taking it seriously and he doesn't want to come off a layoff and go straight into a very tough fight.
Definitely. Well, James, man, thank you for calling in. Pleasure hearing from you, brother. Definitely stay in touch, man. We've actually been kind of connecting with everybody. It would be great to meet up with you later down the line. Matt, happy we stuck around and received one more international call. We got Alex from Cuba in Canada and now James in Australia in Sydney. So
hold on, before we go into final thoughts, we do have that review that we have to get to.
Oh, you found it. Perfect.
Yes, I did find it. You can obviously leave a review on iTunes, so we can find the podcast. If you have a 5-star review and or any review, and we're going to read on the show, always, guaranteed. MRAD2427 from the UK saying, good show, funny at times, and some stupid views from crazy callers at times, but it makes it all entertaining, and it's good to hear some of these people's views. Good show. And thank you, MRAD, for that 5-star review. But yes, like I said, my final thoughts, you know, Triple G fandom is exactly the Earl Spence fandom. Spence is, you know, there's a reason why people think he may be the number one guy in the division because he looks the part. He's beaten enough guys to make you look and go, okay, he's credible. And it's something that we're going to see eventually down the line with him and Keith Thurman. And it's definitely going to be a super fight. I know there has been some flotation of a pay-per-view fight for this, or at least some rumors about it or some talking about it. And there's pay-per-view fights overall for the top of the welterweight division. I think that needs to stop now because, I mean, we've had a long string of free fights on TV, and that should continue. But like I said, I'm Matt the Hippotronic. You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter, Matt Hunter TBV on Instagram, Mixed Combat Radio is my Patreon, my MMA podcast. You can find that on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. Ness?
Yes, and my final thoughts are, look, I'm in the business now. Maybe 10 years ago, Matt, I would have been on the side of the boxing fans and like, oh, fuck Marination. But like James, I am giving Thurman a bit of a break due to his resume. Luckily for those viewing this on YouTube, if you're not, head on over here. While you're here, hit that thumbs up button. You can see the last 7 opponents for these guys. And both gentlemen now in retrospect, Matt, just reading over the names, it looks pretty good. Obviously, Thurman's is a little bit stronger, but Earl is resume building at this point. It's starting to even out. Like, you know, I think that Karras is tougher than LaGreco, but not bad, you know. Diaz, I think, would lose to Van Heerden, you know. Any version of Julio Diaz, I think, would lose to Van Heerden, even though you got to give him credit for getting a knockdown on Amir Khan, right? But Robert Guerrero was a good, solid win for Keith, you know. Second person to beat Guerrero after Mayweather. But I think that Chris Algieri win was a statement performance for Earl. You know, the Collazo win was a great one, in my opinion, for Keith. Unlike many boxing fans who gave him a lot of shit for taking a body shot that he never went down to, everyone acts as if he went down. The man took it and then knocked out Collazo. People see it differently, but I see the truth. So I gave him a bunch of credit for that. But Earl, it was like, holy shit, he took on a common opponent of Keith. And he stopped him when Keith didn't stop him. Keith dropped him, let off the gas, and decided this guy's pretty tough. Let me just get the win. And that's the problem. People like the mentality of Earl Spence. the fact that he's not just trying to get the win, he's trying to get destruction. And he showed that in the Kell Brook fight when he broke his orbital bone, you know. And for Sean Porter, on the other hand, for Keith, it's like, how much credit do you give Keith for that win when now Earl is the one that beat the guy that beat the guy? Earl took the belt from Porter, essentially, because Kell Brook took it from Porter. Earl took it from Kell Brook. Keith, you want it, you're going to have to get it from Earl. I'm excited, but let it simmer. We got other shit out there. Joseph Parker, Anthony Joshua, that's the unification happening. Then next, we'll be getting the Wilder Joshua. Like, we got other shit. If we had everything at once, then what would we do? Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NSGTO. Peace.